Thank you very much. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2013-6, Cannon Road Investments. Now, Mr. Schrader, it's my understanding that you would like to consolidate this with the next public hearing, subdivision 2013-7. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. The circumstances that have caused us to be here this evening are the same for both subdivisions. By consolidating the two applications, I think we can save the commission a few moments, perhaps avoid any confusion and expedite the process.
All right, sir. For members of the public, what that means is that we have two separately listed public hearings. We're going to combine that into one hearing. When they are voted on, they will be voted on separately. But for purposes of the hearing, it's the same hearing as for both applications. And Mr. Lank, I'll let you go ahead and read in the record and do whatever we need to do to make it legal.
Okay. The first application is the application subdivision number 2013-6, the application of Cannon Road Investments to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, by dividing 142.019 acres into 254 lots. This would be a 21-lot expansion to a previously approved 213-lot subdivision, which was approved application number 2010-6, located on the east and west side of Cannon Road, being Road 387, with the intersection on the southwesterly side of Indian Mission Road, also known as Route 5. Identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID 2-34, map 16, and being part of parcel 19, and also being district 234, map 17, parcels 358 through 381. The second application being considered in one presentation is subdivision number 2013-7, the application of Cannon Road Investments to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 95.197 acres into 189 lots and being an expansion to a previously approved 177-lot preliminary subdivision application number 2003-47, being located on the southwesterly side of Townsend Road, also known as Road 303, and approximately 450 feet southwest of Avalon Road, being Road 303A, and identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID 2-34, map 16, part of parcel number 21. I would ask that Mr. Abbott provides any comments he has for based on technical advisory committee on this project.
Mr. Chairman, this application was not reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee. We did receive a written comment from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. It makes reference to the 33-lot expansion, 21 lots for one application, 12 for the other. The project is not in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. They advise that development area was part of a subdivision known as Stonewater Creek. The applicant proposes an addition of 33 lots to previous preliminary approved subdivisions. The project is developing with a private central community wastewater system. Sussex County requires design and construction of the collection and transmission systems to meet Sussex County sewer standards and specifications. For these phases and the additional lots have not been approved and treatment plant capacity must be addressed. A review and approval of the treatment and disposal system by Sussex County Engineering Department is required and plan review fees may apply. Disposal fields should not be counted as open space. Wastewater disposal fields should be clearly identified on recorded plots and separated from lot area. If the county ever provides sewer service and the project has a CPCN, it is recommended that the treatment system be abandoned and direct connection be made to county system at the developer's and or owner's expense. If the county ever provides sewer service and the project does not have a CPCN, It is required that the treatment system must be abandoned and a direct connection made to the county system at the developer and or renter's expense. Sussex County recently acquired more than 2,000 acres of adjacent and nearby land for wastewater spray irrigation and other wastewater treatment systems and uses associated with industrial sites. Each future deed for parcels in the proposed development should note that the development adjoins future wastewater treatment facilities and that industrial type uses on those lands should be anticipated, and a concept plan is not required. That was signed by Mr. Ashman. That's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I am appearing here on behalf of Cannon Road Investments, LLC, which is the owner of two tracts of land that are the subject matter of tonight's application. One is an application that relates to phases 1 through 3, and the second application relates to phases 4 through 7. As I indicated to you in my application for consolidation, this all arises out of the same event, and that is that two different surveyors started in two different directions to determine where a common boundary line was, and the result, much like the bridge to nowhere in Pittsburgh, they didn't meet, and they wound up resolving that dispute. And if you look at the bottom survey over here, there is a green thin wedge where the commencement line is the same as it all of the line is, as it always been, has been, and goes across this end of the property. As a result of that, there are some reconfigurations that we can make of the previously existing two subdivisions. Things that I would like to bring to your attention are that this all would remain, there would be no change in the cluster subdivision designation of either project. The recreation areas remain in the same location as they previously were, although they will be slightly larger. The open space will remain as it was before, but will be slightly larger. The water and sewer service will remain as it was before. The subdivision ordinance compliance with section 99-C remains the same. The covenants, conditions, and restrictive covenants as they were originally presented in 2011 remain the same. The density remains less than 2 acres per unit, and we have submitted to you conditions and findings of fact so that you can see where we're dovetailing into the previously approved applications. Of significance also is the fact that when one expands this project by the 18 acres and the 33 lots, there will be no change in the interior streets, sidewalks, road alignments, or any of the public highways that are adjacent to this particular project.
No gates to the adjacent property, right?
There will be no gates. There will be no fireflies, and we're not aware of anybody being engaged for more than 6 months on this site. I don't want to comment publicly. I think we need to walk away from that.
That public hearing has been closed. Let's just focus on this one here. Yeah.
With those thoughts of mine, I'd like to invite Mr. Key to the podium, whom you know is registered landscape architect, who's participated in the creation of the design of these projects.
Can I ask one question just to simplify this in my mind? You're not adding more lots to the existing land. There was more land adding that you're now putting lots in.
That is correct. The land came first.
All right. Okay. Right. And while Mr. Key's making his way up, I do want to say that for anyone here that has an interest in this application, the exhibits are hard to see from where you're sitting. Feel free to get up, take a look if you'd like. So. All right, sir, Mr. Key, go ahead.
For the record, I'm Frank Key with Solutions IPEM, a landscape architectural firm and engineering firm here in town. This drawing here represents what was previously approved.
Yeah, come on up here, guys. You might want to hear this. Come on, let these guys, let them see what you're doing.
This is really the important one. So this is what was previously approved in 1 through 3 and 4 through 5. And the border line was right there. The church is here, and the county spray fields are here.
Right.
What happened was we went out to stake the buffer. We had our surveyor out to stake the buffer between along the southerly property line there so that we could allow it to grow up naturally and stop farming that strip. And the surveyor came back in and said, I think I have an issue. So he did further research. This is the surveyor who originally surveyed all of Stonewater Creek. He researched it further. I went and met with the county engineer, Mike Izzo, and checked his plat and where his property boundary was and with regard to a driveway that's there. And then the surveyor checked with the church, and we found their pins, too. He went back and redid his deed research and decided that their survey was right and his survey was wrong. He has subsequently produced a corrective boundary survey. We did not record it because after consultation with Mr. Lank, it might have resulted in the extinguishment of lots that are already approved that we're going to revise to be the plan that we have here, so we didn't record it. But we do have the plat here, and it's a certified survey, you know, by the surveyor. The result of it is the line that's on the colored rendering is this line here that goes and goes down right there. What we did is we basically, this owner occupies this land, the county occupies this land, the church occupies this, the farmer that's farming the land for the owners occupies that. So clearly there was a gap, and we're just moving the boundary line over to match properly. Where we added lots are these green lots here. Because of moving it over, we were able to add those there, there. In here, we took advantage of the property here by extending this part. We basically just took that road right there and pushed it down.
Okay.
So that green band right there is actually open space in the park that got added as a result of that. We turned one lot up here because it could keep us from moving into trees in another place, and we had represented that we would maintain those trees. And then, of course, we were able to swing down into the gap that was down here. And that's it in a nutshell, really. There was our surveyor would call it a difference of opinion between the two sets of surveyors that were going on sort of at the same time, but they didn't know they were both out there surveying. I guess you could also call it an error. In any case, he agrees with them. The county and the church agree with the line that's to the southernmost line, and so we're simply moving into that 18 acres that resulted.
Okay.
The density that's proposed in there, this was approved at 1.79 dwelling units per acre. That's what we added, so the resulting open space remains in terms of a percentage the same. This was approved at 1.99, so when we added these lots, we kept the density exactly as it was approved. The only difference is we occupied the additional land.
And that additional land, I think you said, was about
18 acres?
Yes. Yeah, that's a long line at the bottom. It's a couple thousand feet, so that gets pretty big.
How drunk do you have to be to miss 18 acres?
Some of the old deed descriptions for farmland, they call out the posts and trees that aren't there anymore, so it's probably not.
It's a little sketchy.
Surveyed for maybe ever.
100 years, 200 years.
Well, and in his defense, when he started, he went around the world starting back here along the creek and went around this way. And he had better deed information and better monuments on the northeast. These guys started and went the other way around, and they had better information down here, apparently. And then I saw the deeds as well, and to Mr. Robertson's point, they were, go this way, bind against that property. The other deed would say bind against that property, but it wasn't clear where you were binding. So still a big difference, I admit.
So just as likely that alcohol was not involved.
Can't speak to it.
I've just been involved in all this.
All right, then. Okay. Mr. Schrader, anything else?
No, Mr. Wheeler. Really, what we're looking to do is to confirm the existence of the 18 acres and add the additional lots under the same terms and conditions as were previously approved for this particular subdivision.
All right, well, we appreciate your presentation. Let's see if anybody on the commission has any questions, and then we want to hear from the public. So we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Schrader, who lost the land? Who lost the 18 acres?
We lost it and found it. We've actually moved our property line to the property lines that were predicated upon surveys by the adjacent property owners.
So the adjacent property owners were
didn't lose anything. The property
under the old plan, though, who would have been using those 18 acres?
It actually wound up being used by nobody, right?
In the old drawings, no one was using the land. The county field here, the church property stops here, and the old survey showed this property stopping here. So it was like an empty space. In reality, on the ground, these owners and their farmer occupy the ground all the way to the driveway down there, and this line is just on the other side of the driveway, so they stopped at the driveway. And the farmer here farms down all the way, actually farms onto the church property. The church mows, they're on the second, I know this is hard to see, but there are two parcels there. The church is on the southernmost parcel. They mow to that property line, and this farmer here is planting onto that parcel right there. So no one lost any land. There was just a gap between them in the drawings. What they occupy is what it always was.
Okay, I don't know if I'm any more clear on that than I was before I asked the question, but...
Well, to help you along, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Key and I sat down with the surveys and the deeds, and it's not easy getting there, but as Mr. Robertson points out, in ancient deeds, the calls are not the same as they are when you use GPS and modern technology.
I think the way to say it, too, may be that the survey didn't accurately depict what was actually in use and occupied on the ground. It was the drawing error, not, you know, somebody losing land.
That is correct.
Right.
And as I understand it, then, had you known you had this additional acreage originally, you might have applied for those lots to start with.
This correct. What you want to say.
So yeah. We're not, percentage-wise, it's not changed. You're just making use of what land is rightfully yours from the get-go. You just didn't know you had it.
Correct.
Okay, that's as clear as ditch water to me, Mr. Chairman. I have any more questions at this point.
Okay. Mr. Burton.
I have no questions.
Okay. Mr. Ross?
Mr. Smith?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Ross?
I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
Mine is just only, I think you sort of just said this, but you're satisfied looking at the title and everything that the land is owned by... Whoever owns it now, just so there's not any title issues for lots and
no title issues.
A preliminary site plan that doesn't
reflect. And all your neighbors are all in agreement. I mean, is everybody who touches those lines accepting this as being the?
Yes, our surveyor discussed it with the church, and I discussed it with Mr. Izzo, who maintains the spray field.
Well, yeah, that's the county. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Very good, gentlemen. Thank you. I'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here who would like to. Speak about your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2013-6 and or 2013-7? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay, step right up, sir.
Yes, my name is George Lovenhofer. I live in Stonewater Creek.
Okay.
First, I'd like to make an important thing to say that I don't approve of this whole subdivision across from Stonewater Creek.
That's too late for that.
In a different area. But looking at the plans that he's just showing, trying to indicate that all these lots are on this new acquired land. From this drawing, and I'm sorry I didn't bring the other one, they also added two lots here, three lots here, three here, one here, and they did subtract one over here.
Okay.
So they did add other lots within the division. Going to the conditions that were imposed on a 2011, okay, there was supposed to be not more than 233 lots, but now that we have more land, I don't know.
That's why they're here. They're asking if they can have more lots.
It's very difficult, and I'm not an architect.
Sir,
I'm trying to look for...
We can't hear a word you're saying because you keep hitting the microphone with your...
Every time you hit this microphone, it sounds like a thunderstorm.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
On these here plans, they say for the conditions, there should be a school bus stop. Now, is that on that plan? Is it supposed to be on this plan? There's also supposed to be the buffers.
It's supposed to be on their final approved site plan. That's where it would show up.
Do we get a copy of that, or?
It's a public record.
On a record someplace?
Public record, sure, yeah.
And also, well, that's the landscaping and the sidewalks on both sides. Now, there's no way indicating on this is the sidewalks on both sides, because the ledger shows a, well, I don't know if that's a solid line or a dotted line, but there's...
I'm not sure what that plan is that you have there. It may not be a fully
detailed. This is the one I got from the planning zone, you know, upstairs.
Detailed site plan.
And their proposed conditions say that sidewalks shall be constructed on both sides of all streets that need to connect to the required multimodal improvement. So they've submitted that. And the commission can impose that, can modify it.
But shouldn't that be on the plan? So how?
It'll be on the final
plan. It'll be on the final plan,
approved.
Yeah. That may not
so
be.
So there is another
plan. Yeah, how this works is if what would happen is the commission, if it was so inclined, would grant preliminary site plan to what they've sought, you know, if that's the approval that the commission wanted to give. Then they would have to go back through all the approvals with county engineering, fire marshal, DENREC, you know, all the agencies that have oversight, the Sussex Conservation District for stormwater. After they get all those approvals, then they submit what's called the final site plan that takes into account all the agency approvals. Any conditions imposed by the commission would be either drawn into the final site plan and or listed on the side of the final site plan. And that document gets approved by the commission and also gets recorded by the applicant down in the recorder of deeds so that all property owners in the development, neighbors, and everybody have an opportunity to see it.
And do they take a test for traffic volume and you know, with their engines right across the street from ours?
Yeah, now
there's going to be a lot of volume of traffic.
DLDOT takes care of controlling whether a traffic impact study is required, and I don't believe on this one they said that was needed. That's all within DLDOT's purview and jurisdiction.
They said it wouldn't be needed?
I don't believe they did. Yeah, they said it wouldn't be needed.
Originally it was supposed to be 24 lots, and there's 90 in that triangle.
Well, like I said, that's DLDOT. I mean, they're the ones that control the entrances.
Well, okay, that's what I have to say.
DLDOT also prescribed that the entrances need to be intersections rather than offset.
Excuse me?
That's the preference of DLDOT, having an intersection rather than an offset entrance to your project, entrance to theirs.
They want them lined up.
It's more controllable through DLDOT to have intersection crossings. That's their preference.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Hi, I'm George Hudson, 24816 Rosedge Road in Millsboro, Delaware, here in Stonewater Creek.
Okay.
And somebody here mentioned protecting property value earlier for other sites. I think it's very important. Why am I here? I've been here many times before you, and when you go and you move to a location, like me and most other people, you go and look and see what it's going to build out, what it's going to look like, what's the size of the lots, what type of houses, who's going to be across the street, what's the future plans. And that's done by a developer coming here to you guys and laying out their plans and you approving it for them to build. And as George mentioned before, originally in that first section where they're trying to build, this was 24 homes. Now we got 90. It went to 78. And now 90 because they found more land. I mean, they're really loading the population here. And what's that doing to my property value? What's that doing to what you originally approved and then reapproved and now working for another reapproval of changing the property and just lowering my property value? I just don't get it. Developer comes here. This is the fifth house that I built. First one in Delaware. And boy, did I learn all my research didn't mean anything, because when you start dealing with the developers and then the builders come in and they do whatever they want. They start building homes, your swales become trenches because they don't know how there's water management. What happens to the inspectors? You get erosion. They're displacing a lot of land. Where's all that water going to go? What type of homes are being built there? What's the size of those homes? Do they have garages? I mean, they're on 60 by 100 foot lots. If they don't have storage inside, along Indian Mission Road, all this stuff's going to go to their backyard. Everybody that goes by is going to be looking at whatever they're keeping out in their backyard. What's that do to the value of my property? What's that do to the value of the community? We need to protect the values of the community. I just don't see it. You know, the builders, the developers control the HOV when you move in. You guys approve something, and then they go ahead and change the plans because they control the HOV. They can change the size of the house. They can do other things on that building envelope within those lots. What protects my property value? Right now, they want to put more people in there. I know that you go in Del Dot. You're going to have two communities with over 500 homes on each side converging. Who's paying for the light to manage that traffic? Who's going to be responsible for the accidents that happen, for the lives that may be in danger? I'm concerned about what's going on here. I don't think the original plan should have been approved to begin with. It just doesn't make any sense because no one's protecting my property value. And I think that this should not be approved. I'm very concerned. I'm very disappointed in the zoning board and how you're conducting your business.
Sir, how many lots are in Stonewater Chase?
Excuse me?
How many lots are in Stonewater Chase?
Stonewater Creek?
Stonewater Creek.
Well, it's still growing, by the way, and it's going to be over 500 homes. And they're on somewhere between half acre and three quarter acre lots. And that's the way the original plans were when we were told. The developers, they had all the posts up, yeah, you're going to have this, and this is what it's going to look like across the street when I get there.
Did you look at the zoning that surrounded your development when you bought?
What we looked at was the plans that were approved by the Zoning Commission that the developer had.
And I guess the issue is simply this, and that is that you apparently have an expectation that you're going to come here and then nothing else is going to change after you get here.
No, I have an expectation that when a zoning board approves...
You live in a development with 500 homes.
Right.
500
on half acre to three quarter acre lots.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of well managed, but the developer's done a very poor job with the water management.
And I guess what I'm having a hard time understanding is that you're surprised that the land across the street from you is being developed.
No, I'm not surprised. And I was happy that to see it was going to be developed. And okay. I was happy to see that it was supposed to be the same type of community zone for the same type of homes in our community.
Okay. Well, it is. Well, it is. It still is.
Right. No, it's not.
It is. It's an AR1.
There's not 500 homes. We don't have 500 homes. There's about 180 right now. It's
okay. Okay, sir. You'll get a chance to speak in a second.
They're all on half acre or greater. Right. They're all of a sufficient size. They're not on 60 by 100 lots. They're not cramming people in. You're going to have more people in a condensed area. You're going to have more traffic. You're going to have more need for services from the fire department, from the police department, from hospitals.
I hear what you're saying. That ship has already sailed. The majority of what you're looking at there, everything in white, is already approved.
I understand that. Which
we're talking about. I understand you're entitled.
Let me explain one thing. You keep saying it shouldn't have been, and the lot sizes are smaller. But what's permitted in the AR1 zoning district, which is the same zoning district where you are, is a cluster subdivision, which allows smaller lots, so that there can be the preservation of open space, which was considered by
this
commission.
It's not the premise that we were sold our homes by the developer to us.
That's between you and your developer. Been zoned AR1 and all the permitted
uses. Is this not the same developer now across the street?
I have no idea who it is.
Well, I just think it's a shame what's going on here. And if you talk about property values, you guys adding more homes, just decreasing our property value, our investments.
I want to ask you something. I want you to bring me some evidence that happens, because
people come in here time after time and say
I have
that
all the prints.
We don't see anybody's houses going down in value because there's something, because more houses are being built.
Well, you know,
it's all market driven. If people did not continue to come here and buy houses, developers wouldn't keep building them. But you all want to keep coming here.
Well, we want to come here. You know? And when you come,
I mean, you
if
know.
You would have bought into a community, if you buy into a community,
yeah,
and you see the layout and the lot sizes and the size of the homes that's supposed to be built, and you said, "Fine, this is what I'm going to do. This is what sold to me. I saw the drawings of all the different properties and what was supposed to be there."
Right.
Wouldn't you be very disappointed?
No. Because that's exactly what I did when I bought my house where I am now. I looked all around to see what could possibly be happening in my neighborhood, and then I bought a house. And
that's what we did, and we were told that they were going to be half-acre to three-quarter lots. The drawings were there, which were approved by the zoning board, and now they're whittled down to 60 by 100, with a lot more homes in there, 32 to 90 in that first section.
But, sir, if you look at the code, the underlying zoning has a density, and then there's options. Every property owner has options.
I understand that. And
I guarantee you that cluster subdivision meets that density.
And I'm sure it does.
What's the density on your side of the street? This is two to the acre here?
It's the same.
And what's your density? It's two to the acre?
Pull them in and save open space.
About 1.5 to the acre to two.
Yeah.
But you know,
the same
it's
thing.
Deceiving
it's the same
saying,
thing.
Because you're pushing around land. I'm talking about how many houses are within an acre.
But that is actually a more environmentally responsible development because the lots are smaller, there's more open space, they're leaving trees. I mean, it's just it's not different. In fact, it may, some people would think it's superior to the development you're living in.
Well, I disagree.
So, some people would think that.
Well,
for the reason I just sir, you're going to get your chance, okay? You're going to get your chance.
This cluster design was not something that the commission or the county council just kind of said, oh, let's just have some fun with. This was stuff that the state land use planning office and state planners encouraged the county to incorporate within our comprehensive plan and our ordinances to preserve open space. It was considered a superior design. Now, you can have a difference of opinion with the state or other planners. That's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But this was not just something that was willy-nilly thrown out there. This was something that was actually implemented and promoted by state planners and local planners, and so it was given a lot of thought and washed and dried several times. That doesn't mean it can't change in the future. People like yourself can say, hey, there's a better way to do the mousetrap, and in the future we might change it. But this was given a lot of thought by our state land use planning office and state advice and our own public hearings designing our comprehensive plan and supporting ordinances. I'm not asking you to agree with that, but that's well recorded and documented.
Now, I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with what you're saying, but what you're saying to someone like me that comes and looks at a community, that I have to have an attorney go through all the plans and to see if something could change in the future, because what I was told has not happened and is not going to happen, and I feel that there's going to be a lot of problems and issues coming out, those two developments. Who's responsible if they need a light up there? Who pays for the light? Who manages
they
that?
The developer will pay for it if DelDOT tells them they got to have one. It won't
maybe
be
I
got
to talk to DelDOT.
Well, you should.
No, I'm serious. That what we were promised is not here, and because you can do it, happening.
What do you mean what you were promised?
By
who
the
promised
builder
you
and
what?
The developer.
Promised you what? What can he promise you on somebody else's land?
Well, Mr. Chairman,
it was his land.
It's his land. It's the same developer.
Same developer.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add to the history of it. As I understood it, what's now considered Pelican Point was considered to be part of Stonewood Creek.
Right.
So on both sides of the road, they were going to have essentially the same development, same size
that
lots.
That is right.
With the economy, whatever, was going along at their pace.
Right.
They decided then that they wanted to develop the other side of the road.
Right.
And then they came back before the commission, and the whole development was restructured for Pelican Point. So Stonewater Creek remained
the
same.
It was all one at one
but
time.
At one
But when
and
you
when
were looking
we walked
at it,
into the sales office, we were shown
both
something
sides,
that was supposed to be.
You were shown both sides of the road.
And that's where I thought my property value would stay the same. That's where I thought what was going to be across the street. It was told to me. It was sold to everybody moving in there. And
chances are, sir, if the economy had stayed the way it was, it may have, in fact, have remained.
May have happened that way.
I know. Yeah. Economy change and changes developers' integrity to what they promised. There's nothing you can do about it. All these trees, are they all going to be in there? This is a pretty picture with a lot of infrastructure. When I left 2 years ago, I said to these guys, you know, you got all this in here. Is that there? And they said, no. This is just to show you guys a good presentation. These trees aren't supposed to be there.
Yeah, trees here.
I mean, this is kind of false representation by Pelican Point developers. If this is what they're showing you, this is what should be there.
That's a point of view.
It's baloney. I don't go for this kind of stuff. It's false representation. If you're building value and you're showing value, then you got to put the value there.
Well, sir, I think that's why now the commission, when we go up before final approval, and this is, we're dealing with the preliminary now at this point, when you go to final approval, they have to show us a landscape plan as part of that final approval, which then the county inspectors can utilize.
It's allowed in here if it's not going to happen. And my last concern...
Who says it's not going to happen? I can assure you that if it's approved as part of a landscape plan...
No. What I'm saying is if they're showing it here, then it should be part of the final landscape plan.
They shouldn't be
bringing this in.
We will verify. Staff at the final site plan stage verifies that the landscape plan not only meets the code, because there are certain code requirements for landscaping, but that it also matches what's on the preliminary site plan, and that it's built according to the landscape plan. And we have bonds to ensure that it is built and it's paid for.
I know what you're saying.
One last concern.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Indian Mission Road, where you're going to have all these houses backed up to, on this buffer along Indian Mission Road, that needs to be well planted to protect the view of the community across the street. Because I can tell you, those backyards in those small communities don't have a lot of storage room, they're going to be putting a lot of stuff in the backyard, and it's going to become an eyesore. And I'm concerned about that. May not, but I've seen it before. And thank you for your time.
We thank you. Appreciate
Mr.
it. Hold on, yeah.
If I may add, wasn't it this site that came with townhouses or something that wanted approval and we denied it?
Yeah.
We denied it to maintain property value.
Yeah, that was the whole purpose for not allowing that. Right. So,
what it was with my name,
sir,
got to
give your name,
Brock.
Please. Give your name.
That's what I was trying to tell you. My name is Gerald Brock, and I live in Stonewater Creek.
Okay.
This is the, I believe, sixth time that I've testified here.
Okay.
And they had a plan with half-acre lots. I came here before I bought. I was told these are the final plans for this development. Stonewater Creek, it's on both sides of the road. I could see what they were building on one side, and if they were building exactly the same thing on the other side, terrific. I love this plan. Mm-hmm. A lot of spaces between the houses, beautiful houses. I can't lose. They came back about 4 years after that. And they proposed a bunch of duplexes, which was probably the worst plan I have ever seen for a development. You guys turned it down flat. So what they did is they came back and says, oh, no duplexes, but we'll come with something on small lots. It's better than the duplexes, so they'll approve it. And you did. And that's what we're stuck with now. So when we came here, we were sold the bill of goods, and the bill is due, and that's what we're paying. And Mr. Lang, sir, you said that the entrances from our community to that community, that the entrances would be offset?
No.
I said they would, they, DLDOT prefers and require that they be an intersection.
That they line up.
Not to be offset.
Right. Thank you very much, sir. Because there's still a large section to be built here. And Cannon Road is going to keep on into the community. So it's two entrances on Route 5. A lot of cars pulling in and out of there. Some days, even now, with nothing here and this community not completed, I have to wait 3-4 minutes to be able to pull out on the street. Not often, but there's days that I have to. How long will I have to wait when everything here is complete?
A lot longer.
Right. And what it is, we've been here a bunch of times arguing about what our values, the values of our lot are turning down to be. And you guys sit here and nod your heads and you agree.
No, no, no. Not, don't say we agree. We sit here and we listen to you. We listen to you.
One of the things, too, that we're constrained by is what the Delaware courts have said is relevant on a subdivision application. So on a subdivision, you have to understand, too, that by law, whether it's Newcastle County, Kent County, or Sussex County, or even one of the towns, the commission is governed by what the code says and what state law says. There's not often a lot of discretion. So unlike the change of zone application that you heard earlier today when it talked about property values, I think there was a question about property values. On a subdivision, property values aren't necessarily as relevant a criteria if it meets the requirements of the code. And the state courts, from the Superior Court to the Supreme Court, have said that the only way that property values can come in on a subdivision is if it's somehow tied to the code, and if you have some sort of expert evidence that says that this will adversely affect property values for X, Y, and Z reason. You know, but it just, you know, for, and I hear what you're saying that it, you know, it'll affect my property values adversely, but we also are bound by what state law and state courts have said in deciding cases like this. There's oftentimes, I can tell you, sitting with this commission where they feel like they'd like to have more discretion and their hands are tied by what the law says, but the law is the law in situations.
Let me assure you, we see a great many things we don't like, okay? Every time I sit up, every 2 weeks we see something we don't like. But the law doesn't let us turn it down because we don't like it. Now, I'll also tell you that I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with you on the property values issue because no one has ever brought us any evidence that really says that actually happens. Everybody's afraid it's going to happen, but the reality is when you go to sell your place 5 or 6 years from now, you're probably going to sell it for more than you paid for it, okay? So your property value hasn't gone down, it's gone up. Okay.
Couldn't get what I paid for it now.
You couldn't get what you paid for anything now, right now. Nobody can. But that's not because of some subdivision across the street from you.
Okay.
That's because the economy's in the toilet.
Let's say property value is out of the picture. How about the aesthetics?
Okay.
How about the promise that we were promised? Because it was already passed. It was on paper approved. So, in other words, if we buy something and we look around us and we see what's there, and because of what we see that's already approved, we buy it. But then it's changed, not once, not twice, but 5 different times. It's changed. Even in our community that's built now and still being built, he got a provision for the same size lot but smaller houses.
I hear what you're saying. Have you been harmed? Or are you afraid you're going to be harmed? Have you been harmed by the changes, by it being changed? What is the, what, how have you been harmed by that? I know you don't like it. Nobody likes it. I don't like it. These guys keep it like a revolving door, you know, but the code allows it. It's still a free country. People are still pretty much allowed to do what they want to with their own property. So that's why we have laws like this in place.
So in other words, as long as it's allowed, you have to approve it?
If...
Pretty much, yeah. If it conforms to the code, yes, we have to approve.
I mean, there's some caveats to that.
Yeah, but within, but our area of flexibility is very narrow. We don't have a lot of flexibility.
Could they come back next week and propose a trailer park?
They have to get approved, and that's a lot different.
Sir, they can propose anything. You know, they could come in and propose anything.
Does the law allow them to have one?
Probably not. Probably not there. So I doubt seriously that you would see them try to do that. But it's just like the issue with the townhomes. The townhomes were significantly different enough that there was the flexibility, there is the flexibility in the code to say no. And that's what we did. Okay? So the issue, and I know that you feel, you know, I know how you feel. I hear you.
I'm very disappointed.
Well, and I'll maybe explain a little better that the decision as to what can be done on that land was made when it was zoned AR1. So that decision was made years ago, just like where you live, it was zoned AR1. And when it's zoned AR1, that sets the base density for how that land can be used, whether it's farming, whether it's residential, and whether it's the other permitted uses. So that was the time that the decision was made as to what was appropriate use for that land. And as Mr. Ross, I think, said, that original layout for that subdivision was within what's an appropriate use for the AR1 land with the densities, just like your subdivision is, you know, just like others in the county. That's when that discretion occurred, you know, was when the land was zoned AR1, just like when land zoned GR, industrial or commercial.
I understand that, but how can they get a plan approved? And that's what we look at when we buy. And it's not only the property value, it's also the aesthetics of the community we live in.
But you didn't buy in this development. This is all hasn't been developed yet. You bought in an adjoining.
But that's what was proposed. It was the same as our development across the street.
But sir, just like you changed where you live, people can change what they want to do. They can ask until they build it out. Once they start to build it out, they're locked.
They're pretty much locked in at that point.
But until they start to build it out, they can change their mind. Just like if you decide you want to move, you can change your mind. It's a free country to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that this commission or the council necessarily has to approve. It depends on what they're asking for and what the law says.
That's what you keep on telling me. We don't have to prove. It depends on what the commission wants to prove. You approved something that was on 1/2-acre lot. And now this is what you're approving to replace it.
Okay.
I think we've been sold a bill of goods.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Tiffany Derrickson. I am property owner of 3034 Harmon Hill Road. And just for a side note on the application today, 303A is not Avalon Road. It is still Stevenson Road. I saw the sign yesterday. Hasn't changed a bit. Like some of these gentlemen, I have attended planning and zoning meetings since 2006 to oppose and request road design changes be made by Cannon Road Investments in order to improve traffic flow and safety in the subdivision and protect the N&M Burton Farm District. Tonight, Cannon Road Investments is here once again requesting an increase in density in their subdivision. I am here despite the fact that I did not receive a written notice in the mail, even though I am the closest resident to the development and part owner of the Burton Farm District. I am here to oppose any changes in density unless, as requested, Cannon Road agrees to redesign the internal streets and pavement to correspond with traffic flow routed to Cannon Road and support the closure of the section of Stevenson Road adjacent to the Burton Farm District. During the summer of 2008, DelDOT agreed to support the closure of Stevenson Road adjacent to the Burton Farm District if Cannon Road Investments redesigned the internal streets and pavement to correspond with traffic flow routed to Cannon Road. A traffic study by Davis Bowen and Prudell supported the closure of Stevenson Road adjacent to the Burton Farm District, and all traffic from the various phases of these subdivisions be routed to Cannon Road. We have discussed this matter with the developers in person, and prior to their previous request here, they had agreed to redesign the streets to support that. However, they failed to do this. Needless to say, we continue to be disappointed by the efforts of the developers to improve traffic flow and safety in the subdivision, as they have failed to redesign the internal streets and route all traffic to Cannon Road and support the closure of Stevenson Road adjacent to the farm district. And I would like to note that on the other side of the road, we have bought the section of Stevenson Road that is adjacent to the Burton Farm District, and we had to fight with the Shell Brothers, with Independence, and the county to get a forested buffer and to get rid of a giant stormwater pond less than 10 feet from the Burton Farm District. I am here to protect the Burton Farm District and improve traffic flow and safety in a state-designated Level 4 area. Cannon Road Investments is here to make money by developing farmland and building as many cheap houses on as few of acres as possible. The Burton family has been farming in Delaware since the 1700s, and I ask planning and zoning to help us continue to farm the Burton Farm District by requiring, or if they approve this, to require Cannon Road Investments to redesign the internal streets and pavements to correspond with traffic flow routed to Cannon Road in order to improve traffic flow and safety in this high-density subdivision. I would also like to note that some of these gentlemen brought up the poor water management that currently takes place in Stonewater Creek. I have concerns about Ivy Branch, which separates the Burton Farm District and all these different phases of Cannon Road's investment subdivision. And in the spring of 2005, when they were developing Stonewater Creek, Denrick fined and repeatedly cited these developers for consistently letting sediment run off into the branch and stop the water flow of Phillips Branch. I think it's imperative, to support in a Level 4 area a farm that's in farm preservation so we can keep farming it, and to improve traffic flow and safety in this area, which is supported by DelDOT. Thank you for your consideration of my request.
We thank you. Okay, who's next? Mrs. Derrickson.
Normally, Burton Derrickson, 49 Tidewaters, Rehoboth Beach. I want to thank you. I'm here many times, and Mr. Lank was very nice to show me the large thing. A traffic study should be done in 13. With many possible builders and division expansion requests, the study should be current to be reliable. An old study done years ago, I can't see how they can ignore and not bring the study up to date. Road 303A should be open to Route 5 to lessen the traffic divided at the N&M Burton Farm. With all traffic flowing from the increase in density on 303, the farm operation will be greatly impaired. DelDOT approved the plan in 10 or early 11, and everyone is aware of all the changes that have happened and the lack of procedures and policies being adhered. The increase in traffic flow on 303 will create a need to expand the narrow tar and chip road. More farmland will be condemned for the development. This adverse possession by the state to accommodate the development in the future can be addressed tonight. The farm now has a problem with individuals emptying trash on the property. The increase in density without mandatory trash removal makes the open space at greater risk. I've had trash placed on my property very often. I have the cost of removal. The open space dedicated for roads maybe and stormwater management, it does not show the active open space. All these never show what is really active that can be a place for park and sports. Where do families go to play lacrosse, soccer, baseball, or any team sports? There needs to be a recreational field, not more density for greater greed. I have brought the pictures of consequences to the farm open space by the Delaware Electric Co-op when new power lines were put in place and the field was used as a parking lot. The same field. I'll let Mr. Light pass this down.
Thank you.
And then in December 10, these pictures are the sewer district with the construction by Daisy Construction again destroyed the same field without permission. They destroyed it in 05. They parked all these trucks on it for the power dump. The forested buffer requirement in one field was not properly done. There was no consequences by the county to enforce the proper buffer zone. The Sussex, when I called the conservation district, they said, oh, that's not our job. We don't know what to do about the field. And finally, when John Hughes was secretary, I called him to get someone to remove the wastewater management that was less than 2 feet from my property line. So I would have had all the erosion and all the problems. To approve an increase in density, mandate road 303A be made a public open road to Route 5. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Anybody have any questions for Mrs. Derrickson?
There is a letter in there from the that someone should read where the Department of Agriculture sent with forestry about how poor the trees, there were seedlings that were put in for the buffer, and it's documented in there.
From Independence,
the integrity group.
Many of the trees are not planted deep enough and were not even covered with soil or mulch. Holes need to be deeper and native soils need to be placed on top of the root bulbs.
It's quite hard to get those little trees.
They have seedlings there and most of them have died. But this is a problem if you just have open space and you let these things happen but no one follows up and there are all these different agencies and it's never anyone's job to make sure things are followed, procedures are done. And now with LDOT, they really should have another survey with all their problems that have been well documented and the increase in density.
Mm. Thank you. Okay, who's next?
My name's Joe Dankowski and I live in Stonewater Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I second everything that was said tonight. It's going to have a large effect on everything that was presented. Your statement about have we been harmed? You can't be harmed until it's built, okay? That's when you get harmed. I mean, we have $300,000-$500,000 homes, and if you're going to have homes on 60 by 100 lots that are going to be modular or maybe, I don't know, mobile homes.
They won't be mobile homes or modulars. That's not permitted.
No, they won't be permitted.
You can't say that that's going to be comparable to the homes that we have.
I'm not sure the homes you have are worth $500,000 or $600,000
oh, they were.
Anymore.
They were. That's what they were originally. Yeah. They're anywhere from now from 1,400 to 4,000 square feet. These houses will probably be 1,000 to 1,200 square feet. So you can't equate those homes with the homes that we have, and you can't sit there and tell me that we're not going to be harmed. That's my opinion.
Okay? I can't tell you that you're not
going to
be harmed.
No, you don't, but you made it a point to say it three times.
I can't tell you that you are going to be harmed.
Well, I think we are.
I know you think you are.
And looking here, the gentleman that made a statement about no garages, and where people put excess stuff, etc.
step behind their house. Mm-hmm. If these houses are going to face Indian Mission Road, we're going to be looking at all the trash at the back of their houses. Now, I know this is already approved, and you've been stressing that. It's approved yeah. already.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. What we're asking is to not approve the additional homes, but if it's approved, why can't you add, like some of the developments have, like Independence, they have these high mounds where you can't see into the developments, okay? It's approved, but can we approve it with some additions? I mean, where we won't be able to see those homes. And when people ride by, they won't see all the trash out there, which detracts from our value. And it detracts from the aesthetics that we presently enjoy. Right across the street, I mean, it's a beautiful development. And this is not going to be a beautiful development. And I think that something could be added in the mound where those houses will be obstructed. Now, I don't know who proposes that. I don't know if that's something that you can recommend or something that you can approve. But if it's approved, can we approve it with additional conditions?
Well, you know, we can go round and round and round. You know how people feel. And I know there's been a lot of changes. There's a lot of opposition to a lot of different things, and people blame the economy. But if you're going to put something similar to mobile homes, I think they should be somewhere where it's a mobile home area.
I don't know how are you making the
well, 1,000 square foot homes. I mean, that's what
is. Who told you they were 1,000 square feet?
How big are they going to be?
And I'll ask him that question in a minute, but I'm asking you, how did you determine that they were going to be 1,000 square foot homes? I mean, did somebody tell you, or somebody to read the paper, or are you just telling me what you're afraid is going to happen there? Okay, well, we'll try to find out what's really going to happen. Okay, that's all I'm asking you is how are you getting there? You know, so.
But the mounds, I think, is a good idea. And I'd like you folks to consider that as part of the approval process.
Okay.
And perhaps deny the additional lots, because the more lots there is, the less seepage of water there is, the more runoff we're going to have. We have enough problems with water right now. I mean, the developer had to come in and probably dig out and rectify probably about 40 homes because the water has nowhere to go. It's going to have less places to go with all the concrete that we're going to have over there.
Because it has a diverted, I have 4 feet of erosion out of my backyard right now.
Right.
It's growing. 4 feet I've lost in my backyard.
So I'd like you to consider some of the things that were said, and we really appreciate your consideration.
We appreciate your consideration and patience, and everything you said gets considered. It's just that there are some things that we can't do anything about. One thing that I want you to know is that a lot of what you are concerned about are issues that are within the ordinance, okay? There's another gang of five that control the ordinance. It's not us, okay? It's your county council people, okay? If you have these types of issues, and I understand that you do, the ordinance can be changed by them. We can't change it. We can only observe it and compare an application to it, okay? They're the ones with the power to change the ordinance. So my suggestion is that you make your feelings known to those five folks, and offer some suggestions to them as well. So please do, because we hear what you're saying. We're just not much we can do about it.
One of the things I'll point out that the commission hears all the time is folks participate in the zoning process when it affects them the most, but they don't participate in the zoning process when they can maybe accomplish the most, and that's at the time like the comprehensive plans are being reviewed and drafted, or you know, county councils considering new ordinances
well,
that affects the entire county.
Let me ask you something. Are those things publicly advertised?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think personally surrounding affected neighborhoods should be notified. I know it's probably hard to do, but they should be notified of what's being planned.
Yeah. Well, the best resource to do is certainly to pay attention to newspapers, but the county's website, and they're constantly upgrading that, has all the agendas on it. They list on there ordinances that have been introduced, the ordinances that are pending, ordinances that have been recently acted on. If you play at SussexCountyDE.gov, if you go to that, you can get a feel for what's happening, you know, all over the county and what affects the entire county, not just, you know, your particular subdivision.
But as you know, people feel that things get shoved down their throat, and that you know, that's the way people feel. And it's not just us, it's that Love Creek situation, it's a whole bunch of other situations, and you know, it gets shoved down their throat and can only take so much. But I just think that these things get approved without people being aware of them, so that they can go and dispute these things or voice their objections. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Come on. You've been waiting a long time.
I'm going to sleep. I've been waiting here so long.
Well, I understand.
My name is Charles Alquist. I live in Stonewater Creek, of course.
Okay, sir.
And earlier he brought up about these berms, and if you go up Route 5 up toward Milton, and you got a new development on the right,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see berms along the road.
And you see them.
You
a lot
see
of
a beautifully landscaped, mm-hmm. something like that mm-hmm. would look very friendly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go over all these other things these gentlemen talked about tonight, because that'd be like beating a dead horse to death. But I am in agreement, though, that the I feel as if the development is just too dense. I mean, you got 400 units there, so you're going to have 12, maybe 1,500, maybe up to 2,000 people you're going to incorporate on that corner there. That's a lot of people, a lot of traffic. I don't know what the road improvements are going to be. I don't know what you've done as far as traffic control, traffic study, traffic control devices, acceleration lanes. I don't know what's in there. I hope that you're going to have that in the plan. The other issue is this. This is something that really bothers me. I live over here. Mm-hmm. This is the entrance coming out of Stonewater Creek.
Uh-huh.
There's only one entrance out of Stonewater Creek right now. If anything happens to this intersection, if we have an accident, traffic coming through here, and because we're going to have a greater inflow of traffic in here, a chance of an accident greater, anything happens in this intersection, we can't get out. We're trapped in here. We have no other way out until up here on Cannon Road, the developer, one day, I don't know when, constructs this road here, a loop around here. Then we've got a way out. But right now, when this is built, we won't have any way to get out. So I'm wondering if they could perhaps omit or keep traffic from going out this way for a while, maybe have it go out this way, so that we can minimize the chance of something happening until we get this loop up here built. That's one thing.
Okay.
But I do like the idea about the berms. I hope you do take them under consideration. Other than that, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
All right, Drew, we thank you.
There's one thing regarding that entrance is...
Yeah.
Normally, it's one trip to a customer.
Oh, what the heck? Come
but
on.
But you've been patient. Over the podium.
You've been patient, but you have to come to the podium. Normally, it's one trip to a customer.
Now,
but
I'm not definitely sure about this, but
neither
I believe this happened. There's another entrance or another exit out of Stonewater Creek.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding, the developer refused to build that exit. he didn't want to spend the money to do it. I could be wrong, but that's what I was informed about a year ago. There's another exit that you can use to get out of there. I forget the name of the road. It takes you to, if you go out the street, it takes you to Route 24. But there could be another exit out of Stonewater Creek.
It was proposed on the original plans, a road to go through where Tunnel is building his extra nine, where he plans to build more community there. It was on the plans, an outlet to go that way, but it's gone now. They've closed it all off, his houses now.
Do you think, I'm just asking, do you think that the county controls where those entrances and exits go?
I have no idea. I don't know who controls.
I'm not trying to pick on you.
No, I don't know who controls them.
And do you think the county owns that road there?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know who owns the road.
But just.
I would say that the road is owned by the state.
Well, and that's the thing. There's these little silos of responsibility. It's the only way I know how to describe it. But the entrances, the road intersections, all that traffic stuff is controlled by the state.
Right.
And the reason is because they own all the roads. The county doesn't own any roads in the county. We have no funding for roads. We have a little bit of input. They ask the county what roads we think needs work. And
much.
Not a lot. I mean, but there's a facade of that. But what I'm getting at is that we get blamed for a lot of things that we have absolutely no control over.
Oh, no, I wasn't putting blame on you. I was just saying that.
But the important thing is that if we wanted to redesign the entrance, we can. Or the exits. We can.
Right.
We accept what DelDOT proposes. So does the developer to some degree.
Yeah. Now, my question or my statement was that there was another exit, and I guess Tunnel from this building, I guess has a lot more power with the state than we do. When he said, "No, I don't want an exit out of here." I don't know how these things work.
I don't know either.
I don't think it
certainly would be nice to know. And I guess pursuing it with DelDOT would be the way to go with that. But I do want to call everyone's attention to something that I want to make sure everybody heard that actually Mrs. Derrickson said a few minutes ago. And that is that there is this issue of being able to assign responsibility. And that there are, as Marty just said, there seem to be silos of responsibility. And so it's sort of hard to tell and hard to find the responsible person for something. And that is an issue that I would encourage you to take to every elected official you can find. Because that is definitely a problem. I have sat here for 20 years doing this, and apparently I'm going to sit here for three more after last week.
Reappointed.
I got reappointed on Tuesday, so. But it's an issue, and it's an issue that I wish I had an answer to. But there's got to be one sooner or later. There has to be a place where people can go and get these kind of issues, because it is not fun for us to sit up here and say to you, that's not us. Right. You know, I know how that sounds, and it kills me because it sounds like we're just passing the buck. You know, we hear you. If we could do something about it, we would, but it's the people we vote for that are the ones that can fix these, that have the power to fix these issues. And you have folks who have been beating this drum for a long time, and I hope that they keep doing it. Hopefully we can find a way to do something with this. But do make yourselves known to your elected officials, and make yourselves known to each other. Some of these folks have been here for centuries, okay? Families have been here for a long time. They know a lot of the history and background of the area you're living in, and they could be a big help to you because they have the same concerns you do. Believe it or not, we're not all that different, you know?
Two ladies.
So you know, that's the, I'll just leave you with that. These are all difficult issues. And as you can tell tonight, we see so much of this come and go that I forget sometimes what the background was. And I appreciate right. my colleague yeah. to my right reminding me
right.
of what the situation was here. You know, with that, we just appreciate your being here.
We appreciate
here
your consideration.
Do the best we can with what we have. Okay, in a rare departure from procedure, does anybody else want to say anything else? Since I let this guy go twice, I have to let anybody else that wants to go twice. So, all right, you come then, and then Ms. Derrickson, and then we're going to call it quits.
Access in and out of the subdivisions.
Yeah,
is Barbara, you're not responsible for safety or.
We
I mean, just looking at us, we're bad.
No.
But this one here,
the,
I mean, these people.
Okay, that's going to be that's going to be the DelDOT folks. The DelDOT folks, they control everything having to do with entrance and exit to the state road. So that's really who controls that. And if you have an issue, you would want to call the South District office in Georgetown, would probably be the best place to start. And you might have to tell your story two or three times before you get to the right person, but hang in there. Eventually you'll get to somebody who will at least listen to what you have to say.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Ms. Derrickson, and then we'll let this guy go. This lady's next. She's next, then you.
Well, I just wanted to say you've brought up about working with DelDOT and the state, and that's something we've been doing since 2008.
I know.
They knew that the developers were coming back for rezoning to increase their density. They agreed to support if they would redesign the streets and pavements, and they failed to do it. They failed to look out for the safety of the community and the Burton Farm District, but DelDOT will support that, but the developer needs to do it instead of being Slim Shady.
Okay. Yes, sir.
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah, just have to
come on, you got to come up here or we can hear you.
You're
good.
About a year and a half ago, I did see a memo from DelDOT about this development here, and their opinion was they weren't going to pay for any road improvements. Is what they put in that letter. They weren't paying for any.
I'm sorry, who's
from DelDOT? It was, I don't remember the gentleman who wrote the memo, but I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And their opinion was they weren't going to pay for any road improvements.
The developer, yeah, they typically want to get the developer to pay for stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. The DelDOT's not big on paying for much down here. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But just getting back to that, our development here with the one entrance, I mean, that really does worry me. I mean, if we ever had something catastrophic happen back there, propane, maybe that building with those propane tanks, gas explosions, or a fire or something.
Right.
I mean, we got almost 300 families back there. We can't get out. So I'm hoping that the developer, at least one day, if he built a temporary road going around that way with base asphalt or something, just to ensure that we could at least use it in an emergency.
Okay.
So,
thank
okay.
you. All right. Mr. Schrader or Mr. Key, I am going to take you to task a little bit, if I could. I'm not sure which one of you is Slim and which one of you is Shady, but what is the issue that, I mean, I'm intrigued by Ms. Derrickson's comments regarding some agreement that may have existed. Do you guys have any knowledge or shed any light on this?
I think I can shed some light.
Okay.
And I think that Ms. Derrickson is just mistaken, not about the agreement, but about what's occurred. In fact, the roadway system was redesigned, and 130 homes that were in this section were eliminated from what was originally approved.
Okay.
So there are much less homes here now than what were. The connection to Townsend Road was removed entirely. So the project doesn't go on to Townsend Road. All the traffic is directed to Cannon Road and to Route 5. That's
okay.
That's what's going on.
So the project has no
okay.
no access to
well,
Townsend Road.
That is correct.
Right. Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna close the public hearing unless somebody has a question. You have a question?
The minimum lot size is what?
60 by 100, I believe. But if The required or the what we're doing?
On
the minimum lot size, lot size allowed is 60 by 100. The lots proposed there are 70 by 125. In fact, they're a little few inches in excess of 70. The home size that was asked about on the high end will probably be about 3,400 square feet, and on the low end would probably be about 1,400 square feet, like every other development in Sussex County. And it'll probably be some of the same home builders building some of the same homes.
Okay. But you're anticipating the restrictive covenants and all will not allow a square footage that would be a minimum of 1,000 square feet.
No. In fact, it would be impractical because you really need 1,400 square feet to have 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, and extra space in the house. All the houses will have 2-car garages. They're the same houses that are being built in Stonewater Creek for all practical purposes.
Thank you. Wanted to get that
on. Okay. Okay.
Thank you,
all right,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Before we close the public hearing, I want to suggest that you all do something unique when you leave here, okay? Go out in that lobby and talk to each other, will you? Because I know half of you, and I know you're good people, and I suspect the rest of you are too. Okay, and if there are still issues that can be resolved at least by airing them out, then give it a try, because no one comes in here and sits for 3.5 hours to say their piece who doesn't really care about what they're doing. Okay, so maybe you can make a little bit of headway, or at least understand each other better, and perhaps agree on one thing, and that is that we need to find a way to address these issues instead of everybody saying, well, this isn't my problem and that's not my problem. Who knows? Maybe we'll actually come up with an answer. And with that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.